Good afternoon, Juno, and welcome to this week's conversation with the Black Awareness Association. This show is a weekly collaboration of the Black Awareness Association of Juno and KTOO. As all of us witnessed yesterday, history was made when Kamala Harris, the first African-American woman, was sworn in as the first woman and Black woman VP of the United States of America. We're here today to acknowledge and honor her. And we're also here to have a conversation with three distinguished women from our community and our state. My co-host today is Kay Smith. I am Sherry Patterson, and we are delighted that you joined us today. Kay is going to introduce our guest today, so I'll let her have it. Kay?
Thank you, Sherry. Thank you so much. Welcome to everyone in our audience today, listeners who are local, who live outside Alaska, and who are listening on the World Wide Web, welcome. It's exciting to have you join us. Again, a warm Juno welcome to each of you as we focus on women who break the glass ceiling, with special attention to Kamala Harris, our Vice President of the United States of America. We're so very fortunate to have a panel of fascinating women who have broken the glass ceiling right here in our town. I'll tell you a little about each extraordinary and celebrated woman, and then we'll ease into our conversation for this evening. Please get comfy, because we promise you'll want to stay seated right where you are for the entire show. Everyone, I'd like you to meet our first guest, Faye Callum. Faye hails from Barrow, Alaska, where she is the Behavioral Health Program Manager for North Slope Borough Integrated Behavioral Health. Faye began her tenure at North Slope serving as the Acting Program Manager, Integrated Behavioral Health, in March 2019. By August 2019, she became the Behavioral Health Program Manager. Faye brings 40 years of dedication and service to the field of behavioral health since obtaining her Bachelor of Arts in Psychology from Fordham University in New York. She also earned a Master of Science in Social Work from Columbia University and later certification in Advanced Clinical Social Work from New York University, all the way up in New York. She has served 6.5 years as clinician, North Slope Borough Integrated Behavioral Health. Faye's credentials include adjunct professor, licensed clinical social worker, certified chemical dependency clinical supervisor, substance abuse professional with an SAP credential, which certifies her to supervise clinicians seeking licensure in Alaska. Faye's associations are National Association of Black Social Workers, National Association of Social Workers, and Community Support for National Alliance on Mental Health. Faye?
Well, hello, Juno, and all listeners across the web. So very, very happy to be here this afternoon to be able to share my thoughts with you. Awesome. Please bear in mind, these are my opinions as such.
Thank you for being with us. Okay? Yes. Thank you for being with us.
Happy to be here.
Yes.
Next on our very distinguished list tonight, we have Dr. Mainandi Fan. She is a Juno physician at Physical Familiar Practice. She was born in the city formerly known as Rangoon in the country of Burma. When she was less than 1 year old, her family fled persecution and an oppressive socialist dictatorship via India, Egypt, and finally she arrived with her family in Aleppo, Syria. The safety of their family was short-lived, however, since the Yom Kippur War soon began. Another immigration ensued, which brought the family to the sunny island of Jamaica. Dr. Than graduated from Mount Alvernia High School, an all-girls Catholic school in Montego Bay, Jamaica. She then attended college at the University of Miami, followed by medical school. Dr. Than then moved across the country to complete her medical internship and residency at the University of Arizona in Tucson. Dr. Than's medical career has spanned 20 plus years right here in Southeast Alaska. She considers herself an Alaskan in the true pioneering spirit.
Thank you, Kay. Thanks for that introduction. And I'm so honored to be here with all you ladies.
Glad to have you.
Thank you. Next on our roster is another Dr. Cindy Cork, who was born and raised in Mandeville, Jamaica. At the age of 14, she moved to Florida with her family, where she completed high school. Dr. Cork earned her Bachelor of Science in Chemistry from Florida International University in Miami. She then joined a startup pharmaceutical company and was part of a team that was successful in obtaining FDA approval for a cholesterol-lowering drug. Dr. Cork found that her true passion, however, was study of the eye, and so she changed focus. She graduated with honors from Nova Southeastern College of Optometry in Fort Lauderdale. Over the past two decades, she has run eye clinics working in underserved populations, prisons, colleges, and altogether while having her own private practice. Dr. Cork has also served as a sub-investigator for an FDA study on surgical procedure to correct presbyopia, specifically the need for reading glasses after age 40. Dr. Cork is certified in the powerful alternative holistic healing modalities such as syntonics, iridology, live blood analysis, nutripuncture, medicinal foods, neurodesign engineering, and hypnosis. She uses these powerful tools for transformation in training individuals to sharpen their skills and delve deep into their journeys to heal and transform their life and health. Dr. Cork's passion for philanthropy is expressed in the donation of her time, giving the gift of sight to poverty-stricken people in South and Central America and the Caribbean, and especially in her native land of Jamaica. Dr. Cork is a former instructor at Miami-Dade and Broward Colleges, both in South Florida, as well as the University of Alaska Southeast, right here in Juneau. Dr. Cork is an active member of the Juneau Mendenhall Flying Lions Club and the National Optometric Association.
Okay, thank you for that wonderful introduction. And I am exceptionally pleased to be a part of this panel of fantastic women.
Awesome, awesome, awesome.
Thank you so much.
So I really enjoyed hearing, I didn't get to read your bios before, but just reading, I am quite honored to be in your presence today. And you're all in healthcare. And I already have a question I want to ask toward the end. And it's about the COVID-19 vaccine and how our Black community is responding to it. So we'll get to that one later. But since we're talking about our new Vice President of the United States and honoring her today, that's quite an accomplishment and something that we have not seen. I've seen young girls being interviewed and they're like, I can do this, I can do this, I can do this. And we're going to get to that question too. But the first question is, and I would like for all of you to respond briefly, what inspires you most about seeing the first woman of color in one of the highest office in the United States of America? What about you, Dr. Cindy?
Well, what's inspiring, first of all, that we have a woman
yes.
in the highest, one of the highest offices in the country. I feel as women, we're nurturers instinctively, and we bring a whole different perspective to what we do.
I agree.
Bringing that softer side to governing is very important. And then, of course, having someone of color, specifically for me, someone who has Jamaican heritage.
Yes.
You know, it makes me especially proud because it just shows how, as Jamaicans, we put our mark on everything. So
yes.
I feel especially proud that she is of Jamaican heritage.
Awesome, awesome.
This is Faye speaking. There is a saying that I hear often among women that women should be governing, women should be leading the world. We would have less war. I don't want to put the weight of all of that on Senator Harris, but really looking to see the trend towards war, you know, declining. So, so yes, I'm looking to see more peace, more negotiating, and more collaborating among nations.
Yes.
But I am just like Dr. Cindy, who spoke earlier, saying, yeah, we put our marks as Jamaicans. We put our mark on just about everything. Particularly inspired by the fact that she is of Jamaican heritage. Yes, the first woman of color
awesome.
In that position.
Yes, yes. And Doctor?
Well, there's so many things that's inspiring about this historic moment. I admire her courage and her tenacity. She has definitely broken the glass ceiling, you know, as the first female VP of the United States. And I think that really speaks out to all the young girls and the women, especially who are multiracial Americans. And whether you support her policies or not, we really should acknowledge that this is a historic moment.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, women, ladies. Let's have another question for you. Would you give us a little background? In other words, share how you came to decide on an aspect of this particular topic today, one that specifically inspires you. In other words, the spark that further encourages you or gives you the boldness, causes you to continue your tireless work. What would you say that is, that aspect?
Okay, so for me, what inspires me about Vice President Harris is the fact that she didn't let the naysayers stop her from moving forward. Mm-hmm. And I believe that for women, that's something that we have to a lot of times overcome because, well, we're always judged, right? So if you want to have a career, then that means that you're giving up having children and you're judged for that if you don't have children. Or if you're career-minded, then you're too pushy. So it's almost like a balancing act when you're a female in any position of power. And again, as a woman of color, we also tend to be judged more harshly than our counterparts because you have the angry Black woman, right? So you have to be careful in what you say and how you speak because we're looked at so critically all the time.
Yeah.
And for me, during my career, now I can say, you know, coming from Jamaica, a lot of times I don't look Jamaican because of my skin color. Right? Mm. I've had instances during my early years of practice where I've had patients who didn't want to see me because I was a woman, or number two, because I wasn't from this country because I had an accent.
Wow.
You know, the fact that she has put those naysayers behind her, like she hasn't paid any attention to the criticisms and she's just kept going. And to achieve the level that she has, regardless of the criticisms that she's gotten from her own community, because that's the other thing. I'm not sure if any of these other ladies on the panel have experienced this, but, you know, as someone who comes to this country as an immigrant in school, you're also judged. When I moved here from Jamaica, in Jamaica, we didn't see things in terms of color. But when I moved to the States, that was a rude awakening for me because now we're being judged by color. So now you're not Black enough to be Black, but you're not white. You're trying to find where you belong within a new school, being in a new place, and finding your way as you navigate being in school and in higher education. Her journey resonates with me, what I've been through.
That's awesome. Wow. Thank you.
Does that make sense?
Yes, it makes a whole lot of sense. Thank you so much. And with that, we're going to go to our first break, and we'll be right back.